Let's ask the Lord to bless this message tonight. I'll jumpstart you here in Daniel chapter 8. And we're going to ask the Lord to be with the preaching. Dear God, we ask that You bring order to the house of God. We thank You for the dear folks that have come, Lord. May their hearts be lifted to You, Lord. May they be open to receive the Word of God. We do thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Father, we pray to be a kind of worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon this earth, God. I ask right now that You be with the preaching of Thy Word, Lord, that You stir up some folks to remembrance, stir us all up, God, to more holiness, to a deeper sobriety in You, God, that we be more diligent, Father. For the time is short. It's in the name of Jesus we give You thanks. Amen. All right, I want you to notice in Daniel chapter 8, I'll just give you one verse. It says in Daniel chapter 8, if you look in verse 25, that craft shall prosper in his hand, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Now, I want you to see that there is going to be a peace delusion. That's the Antichrist, I believe. But I need you to understand that there's a spirit of Antichrist that already works in the world. So the same delusion is already working and has been working down through the centuries. But it's going to culminate in one man. And praise God, his time is going to be short. Do you know this world government that everybody has been planning for, that Satan has been working so hard to bring about? This world government, you know how long it's going to last with the Antichrist? 3.5 years. Now, but I promise you, the Bible says he's going to do more damage in that 3.5 years than if God didn't cut it short, there would be no flesh saved. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Does everybody have a copy of our notes tonight? All right, I'll give you two headlines before we officially begin. Here's a headline. In September, new push for global currency. New push for global currency. That's a one world currency. Here's another headline. Obama to push for new economic world order. Obama to push for new economic world order. There's so many things we could talk about as we review the year as far as this stage setting for Bible prophecy. We could talk about the Babylonian ruins being opened up now for the first time in recent years. We could talk about many things that occurred this year. But when you look at the whole year, the thing that keeps coming up, as we saw from these headlines, is this world order. World order. World order. And I want you to understand, this did not happen by accident. It is not an accident or some chance that everybody right now is talking about a world order, an economic world order. This has been by design. It has been a step-by-step process, and it's been an indoctrination of generations of people to prepare them for what the Bible, we have the insight. We have the Word of God. We are the one. The Bible said, let your light shine before man. We don't have any light other than the Word of God that shines in us. So we are to preach and speak forth the light of the Bible. We know what's happening out here. Everybody else is in darkness. If they're not saved, they don't believe their Bible. They don't study Bible prophecy. They're not going to understand that this new economic world order is setting the stage for the kingdom of Antichrist. I remind you every year that when I was a little boy, about 8 years old, I went to the YMCA camp and they said to me, son, there's going to be a man that's going to stand up one day and he's going to have some type of way of controlling by computers all the world's finances, and you will see in your day the rise of Europe. And you're going to see a world government with Europe as the head. And they told me that as a little boy. And you will not believe how things have come step by step to fulfill these prophecies and set the stage for Antichrist. Well, we better begin. It says the rise of the New World Order in prophecy and history. First of all, I want to show you some Bible prophecies about the coming New World Order. The first thing you need to know is that Lucifer has had this in his mind since before the time of Adam. I want you to see in Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation?" Sometimes the Bible looks back in history past, and sometimes it looks forward. And sometimes it does both. So it's looking back to a fall, and it's looking forward to the fall of Lucifer when he reigns through the Antichrist. In other words, Lucifer, notice, he weakens the nations. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." What's Lucifer's goal? To be like God. Do you know what God is going to do? It says in Isaiah 11 that he's going to have his rest, he's going to have his kingdom, he's going to reign in Jerusalem and sit upon the throne of David. And Jesus, God, the Son of God, is going to rule forever and ever from the throne of David. So what do you think Satan wants to do? He wants to sit in that throne, show himself that he is God, and he has one desire, to possess a man and sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, a counterfeit, and rule and say, "I'm God of a world government." 2 Thessalonians, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin," that's that Antichrist, "who destroys by peace." He deceives everybody. The son of perdition. The Bible says the Lord's kingdom will not be set up. This is so important. Don't you let anybody tell you, the kingdom of God's here. Look what Obama's doing. Look what the president of Europe is doing. They're bringing in the kingdom of God. This is it. Say, no, it is not. Don't you let any man deceive you. That kingdom of the Lord Jesus is not going to come until you see a falling away first. That is a lot of Christians being deceived, falling away from the faith, and that man of sin be revealed. The Antichrist has to come and sit upon his throne before you can have the kingdom of God set up on this earth. "Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God." So what must be built? The temple. Sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You had to have a nation of Israel back in their land before you can have a temple. 1947, the nation of Israel back in their land. And now you have this movement to rebuild the temple. And it's all going to come to pass. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." In other words, if you don't want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't want to hear the truth about the Lord's coming kingdom, if you don't want to hear this Bible truth, the Lord says, "Okay, well, I'll give you a strong delusion, and you'll believe what everybody believes." I don't even have time to get into how the Pope and the Catholic Church have declared they believe in aliens now. I don't have time to get into the fact that we've had major astronauts say they saw aliens up when they went up into space, so-called. Now, I don't have time to get into National Geographic magazine, "We Are Not Alone." How everybody is being prepared for some type of contact with extraterrestrial beings, some type of alien, and how people are being contacted. And you know what they're going to say? When they make contact with these supposed aliens, which are nothing but devils, if such a thing ever happens or some type of deception is ever brought to pass, they're going to say, "You need peace. You need to break down the walls of these sovereign nations. We have to break down the walls and come together." That's what they're going to say. Because the devil's been teaching the same message ever since. But one day, a man's going to stand up and teach it with power, with miracles, lying wonders. And it's this man. And the whole world is going to believe a lie. Do you want to believe a lie? The devil came in the book of Genesis as a liar, didn't he? All right, Genesis 11. They said, "Go. Let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Oh, there's something you ought to learn here, folks. There was a devastation upon the earth. There was a great flood. Now, I want you to see what man does after judgment. I want you to see what man does when he has a calamity. Instead of repenting and getting on his face, saying, God, we're sorry and we want to make sure we stay close to you. They said, hey, there's been a terrible devastation, a terrible calamity. We need to come together as one. We need a new world order. So let's join together, and it needs to be based on humanism. Let us make us a name. We don't care about the name of God. Let us concentrate on man. It'll be man's kingdom. Do you see? Do you get the point? If there's a great big devastation, a great big world war, what does man say? We must have a world government. See, Genesis 11 is a prophecy. It's happened before. They built a tower to heaven. They're going to have a one world government. Notice what God said. What's the motive for joining together? Lest we be scattered abroad unless something terrible happens to us. What's going to be the motive for bringing together a world government? Climate calamity. World war. All these horrible things that are happening. We must come together as one. It's fear. Let's listen to what God said. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. The people is one. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. They left off to build the city. But they're coming back to build it. You ever seen the little pyramid? What's wrong with the pyramid? The capstone's missing. Oh, it's there. It's just not connected yet. What do they say? We have to finish the last final stage before we have our world government. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Confusion. Revelation 17, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. This is the coming city, Rome, that is going to rule the world in this European kingdom that gets control over the whole world in a European, worldwide government. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. The beast is both a kingdom and a man, as we see in the book of Daniel. So it's a kingdom that was here, that disappeared, that comes back. So it's therefore the Roman Empire that disappeared, and now it comes back into formation. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, with the Antichrist. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So therefore, Rome will fulfill the ancient dream that began at the Tower of Babel, that actually began a lot earlier with Satan himself, that he will rule in a world government upon this earth. In fact, Daniel 7 puts it this way. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. It began to fulfill this with the Imperial Roman Empire, and it's going to come back and do it again. There's going to be a kingdom which shall devour the whole earth. Do you see it? That's a world government right there. A one world government. Revelation 13. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. That's Satan. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, they finally fulfill a world government where you cannot fight against this power. That's been their dream from the very beginning. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. I'm so glad it's not any longer. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is world government. This is a new world order prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And he causeth all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We finally now have the computer technology to fulfill what it says here in the book of Revelation, to trace every single man by computer, to trace every single man and bring about this one world government where everybody is controlled economically, everybody is controlled financially, and not only that, it is an absolute dictatorship. It is a totalitarian regime. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Man is so foolish. It's a feminist, insane, foolish, silly idea. The whole reason you had a separation of powers with America was to keep somebody from getting control of a central government. Because guess what? You can't trust man. And if you give somebody the ability to, and people sit back and say, wouldn't it be nice if we gave a world government the power over all nations, we wouldn't have any war anymore. Well, how would you trust the people that are leading the thing? What if they start killing everybody? People are very foolish, right? All right, turn the page to number 2. Seeds of the New World Order, a historic summary. Of course, I don't have time to get through everything. I can't even count the number of books that I read in preparation for this, but I want you to just simply see some highlights. I'm going to deal right now, not with secret closed meetings that nobody really knows about, we just have to guess about. I'm going to show you an open conspiracy. I'm going to show you there is enough out in open with published books for you to understand what's going on. I'm sure there's all types of things going on with Bilderbergs and Rockefellers and all of these things, but I'm going to show you what's out in the open because they're not hiding what they're trying to do. And this will be plain. Let me show you how the devil's been planting seeds for this new world order. Plato, who died in 347 BC in his Republic, calls for a future totalitarian state ruled by the elite. He endorsed communism, compulsory state education, elimination of marriage and family, infanticide, eugenics, which is state-managed birth, selected breeding. Well, Plato is basically bringing to pass, or he wanted to bring to pass, exactly what they're doing today. So everybody that is trying to bring to pass this world government, they're just going back to Plato. This is what we've had in America. Compulsory state education, elimination of marriage and family, divorce, the seeds of communism being planted. And we already got abortion and we're on our way to selected breeding. Let's speed up centuries to Dante. De Monarchia, somewhere around 1308. Dante envisions a world state ruled by emperor and pope. Remember, the Bible says there will be a beast and a false prophet that rule together. Dante says we need the whole world ruled by pope and emperor. Thomas More, a militant Catholic, in 1516 writes Utopia. It envisions easy divorce, euthanasia, female priests, and a communist state. Interesting. It's what we have today, the women's movement, the feminist movement, and all of these things. Right off the pages of Plato, right off the pages of Thomas More, the militant Catholic. And remember Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit, he basically said that what he wrote in the novel was true, that the Catholic Church in their secret chamber, this is hearsay, but he said in their secret chambers, they worship Lucifer and they're trying to bring to pass a world government. And there's a competition right now to see who's going to get control of it. Americ Cruchet, a Catholic monk, writes the new Cneius, 1623, which is about a new world order that's going to come. 1623. Finally, the wicked philosopher Immanuel Kant, that said you shall not work for reward. It's wrong to labor for reward and various other blasphemies. Immanuel Kant writes, toward universal peace in 1790. Basically, he called for a new world order. This is what we need. What do you study in college? What do they saturate you with? This man right here. Finally, Napoleon comes to power. And he shocks the whole world. Devastates the whole world. A forerunner of the Antichrist. He was like the Hitler in his day. And many believe that he was the Antichrist. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tracts and pamphlets written about Napoleon. He comes to power. He says there must be one code, one court of appeal. The states of Europe must be united. Get the point? Now, after such a devastation of the world, as he tries to establish a world government, ironically, it leads to the formulation of an attempted world government. They say, hey, we can't let this happen again. There's madmen in the world. We've got to join together and form a world government to keep these madmen from ruling over us. So the Quadruple Alliance was formed in 1815 as a response to Napoleon. Are you getting the pattern? Devastation hits the world in the flood, they set up a world government. Devastation hits the world with Napoleon, they set up a world government. Are you getting it? The American Peace Society in 1828 was set up. It called for a world congress, a high court of nations. William Ladd's essay on a Congress of Nations was published in 1840. They're talking about, we need a new world order. Throughout the 1800s, you had additional seeds of internationalism. They begin to be watered by secret societies, theosophists, with Madame Blavatsky. Tennyson, the poet, in 1843, writes a poem about the New World Order. Marx and Engels, their Communist Manifesto is published. All of this is taking place in the mid-1800s. Then finally, when the century is about to close, you have the first Hague Conference. A permanent court of arbitration is set up. An international treaty is negotiated at The Hague in the Netherlands that says we need a world government with a world court. Then, at the beginning of the 20th century, Andrew Carnegie calls for a League of Peace to police the world, 1905. Millions of copies of his speech are circulated throughout the world. Carnegie's secret also helped make witchcraft popular through Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. When you see all of this witchcraft out here in the secret, when you see Think and Grow Rich, they're basically saying you've got mind power. If you'll just simply visualize something hard enough, you can make yourself a millionaire. And they say they got this from Andrew Carnegie, which is basically witchcraft. And Carnegie is the root of spreading this sorcery throughout all the nations. And remember now, when it talks about the one world government, it talks about witchcraft and sorcery being poured out to all the nations. Maybe that's what it means when it says he shall cause craft to prosper. In 1907, we have the second Hague Conference. Then you have World War I. Well, things are looking pretty bad before you get to World War I. I mean, it looks like they're about to set up a one world government already. Then you have devastation in 1914 to 1918. World War I. The world had never seen anything like it. Then you have Lenin in 1915 in the midst of it all calling for a United States of the world. We need a United States of the world. Then in response to World War I, just like in response to Napoleon, just like in response to the universal flood, it's now time for a one world government. We can't let another world war happen. We have to have a one world government. Hey fellas, who's going to control the one world government? If you empower them to control every nation, what if they're bad people? They don't have a clue, do they? They don't have a clue. So the League of Nations is set up in 1920. The war has ended, and it's time now for a League of Nations. Then finally, in 1921, out of the same sewer, CFR is set up, the Council on Foreign Relations, and take a look one day, go to their website, or just take a look and see how many men in government right now, how many presidents are picked, how many leaders in the media are part of this CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. Their agenda is to promote a new world order. I guess you could call CFR control everything for Rockefeller. I think that's what it means. All right. Then you have World War II that ends in 1945. Well, what are you going to have after a devastating war? Are you getting the pattern? What are you going to have now? Another attempt at a one world government. So now you have World War II, and now it gives what never could have been fulfilled in the League of Nations is now fulfilled in the United Nations. They get bolder. You don't have the opposition to it that you had for the League of Nations. So now you have the United Nations set up in 1945 in response to World War II. Then right in the midst of it, when it looks like the final kingdom of Antichrist is being set up, you have the State of Israel reborn nationally, 1947, 1948, in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, setting the stage. When Jesus looks at the end times, He sees the State of Israel in existence. So therefore, if you're entering into the last days, what must be? You must have. In fact, He sees a temple in existence. He sees it all. And remember, the Antichrist must rule out of the temple of Jerusalem. He must sit in that temple. So the State of Israel was an amazing step toward bringing in the New World Order. Then you had the World Health Organization in 1948. Its agenda is, of course, a New World Order. From 1950 to 2010, you have the final seeds of the New World Order ripening to final fruition. They're ripening right now. The harvest is about to begin where they bring to pass this agenda that has been culminating step by step. Turn to the third part of this. We want to take a look at foundations of the New World Order, a closer look at the 20th century. I read these books and I wanted to give you what I believe is the core meat of these books. And so I want you to see in 1916, so we've seen a bird's eye view of how we got to where we're at today. I'm going to read quickly, but I want you to take a look at something here. In 1916, Frederick Henry Lynch writes a book called The Challenge, The Church and the New World Order. See, you thought New World Order, or some of you might have thought that that's a term that Bush came up with or something like that. Notice, he writes a book called The Church and the New World Order. This man helped organize the League of Nations. And the title of his book, The Church and the New World Order, what does he say? I believe in God and in evolution. Uh-oh. And in the teachings of Jesus Christ, along with H.G. Wells and Bernard Shaw. That's nice, isn't it? Because all those men were New World Order men, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is he trying to do? They're trying to make you think that Jesus is for the UN. That Jesus wants this New World Order. These men see that there must be a new order of things, says Henry Lynch. Let all that call themselves Christians get together. Have you heard that before? And form a League of Nations or some sort of United Nations. This is years before the United Nations. Kant wrote his great Christian tract. He calls it a Christian tract, Eternal Peace, in which he insisted that courts must supplant war. Well, who's going to control the courts? Now is the time to establish a world court. We seek to make a sort of United Nations of the world based on the United States of America. So United States of America is the model for the world government. We seek to make a sort of United Nations of the world based on the United States of America. It will have a world court that will function like the Supreme Court does in the United States. What gradually happened in America? You had sovereign states, then finally they lost their sovereignty and they unified them together into the United States of America. And then finally each state further lost their sovereignty because now the Supreme Court dictates what you have to believe. So what's going to happen now is you're going to have sovereign countries They're going to enter into a league. Then from out of nowhere, you lose your sovereignty. If you try to get out of the league, they punish you, devastate you, bankrupt you. And then finally, you end up with a world court that replaces every constitution of every country in the world. It's right here. You don't have to read some conspiracy book. They put it out in the open. Here it is. Just as our national army will not allow a state to break the peace, so this international army will not allow a nation to break the peace. Well, that's nice and sweet. Nice, sweet, hippie pacifist, aren't they? Sure. That's the bait they use to bring you into it. But then they say, you can't leave, I will kill you. They will not allow you to break the peace. We were one of the originators of this League of Nations. We are pacifist. What a nice pacifist. We must start by organizing a League of the Americas and then branch out. What's he say? South America and North America has to be the first block. And after we get that in place, where each country, Canada and South America countries and America, they all lose their sovereignty and they become just one big nation, then they step out and go further. Evolution will work among the nations. There can be only one standard of ethics in the world. If we are ever invaded, it will be because we have not behaved ourselves. Oh, that's that ancient doctrine that says if there's ever evil people in the world that want to kill us, it's because we've been bad. See, that started from these guys right here. Sometimes it might be true we have been bad, but not always. If we are, see, that's the goodness of man, psychology, that man is good. And if you would just be nice to everybody, they'll be nice to you. You don't need a gun. You don't need to protect yourself. You don't need a military. If you just love everybody and give them a flower, they'll love you back. The duty of society to the criminal is to redeem him, not to punish him. You will find the seeds of everything that is evil in the writings of these men. What they're saying here is we need to get rid of our prisons or change the whole prison system. No longer can we punish anybody. No longer can we have retribution. No longer can we say, you did a crime, now you're going to pay for it. No, prison must be reforming people, see. We got to get rid of the idea of punishment. Why is it that you can't find churches today hardly that believe in punishment? Because this idea has been taken away from you. This indoctrination has been... You can't defend yourself as a country. You can't have the death penalty. You can't defend your home. And all the bad rapists and murderers, you need to be nice to them. If you be nice to them, they'll be good. See. Of course, we should do everything we can to reform people with Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But this is imbalanced. Do you understand? This is imbalanced. All right. In 1917... E.O. Sisson, in the Oregon Teachers Monthly. He's president of the University of Montana. He says the spirit of the New World Order is to be made dominant. The school must lead the way. But exactly how? That is the question. The briefest answer is that we must foster a new sense of unity of the world, proclaiming a great new aim, world citizenship. Folks, this is 1917. Thus, fellow teachers, is the most momentous action. This, fellow teachers, is the most momentous action ever taken by the National Education Association. Let us rejoice that our profession has at least not fallen short of declaring for the dawn of the New World Order. Thus may American education in America lead the way in the New World Order. What are they saying in 1917? National Association of Education, all the teachers get together and they say, we're going to use the public school to indoctrinate a new generation into globalism. All they're going to hear about is the New World Order. Wouldn't it be nice if all the nations laid down their arms and we all just kissed one another? Wouldn't it be great? And you know what? That will happen when Jesus comes, because He will be the absolute monarch. He will come with a rod of iron, and you're not going to mess up, but you can trust Him. You can't trust anybody else. So until then, you will have no rest. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of war. You're not going to have rest. He said the poor will always be with you. Until He comes, do your best to fix things in righteousness. But don't fall for these deceptions. They are planning from 1917 to indoctrinate the children in public schools into the New World Order. In 1919, Samuel Zane Batten writes The New World Order. The title of the book, The New World Order. George Bush pretended like he got it from one of his aides. It was like, oh, that's a good little idea. Give me a break. American Baptist Publication Society. These are liberal Baptists. This is a socialist. Listen to what this Baptist says in the New World Order in 1919. This is what it would be like to live in 1919. We are laying the foundations of a new world, says David Lloyd George. The World War represents the passing of the old order and the end of an epoch, an epic. A new day has begun. A page of new achievements is upturned. The old order passes from view. The new world is rising upon our vision. The world is in a transition period. The World War, whatever may be the changes it brings in world geography, represents the close of an age and the opening of a new epoch. It began as a world war. It has developed into a world revolution. In the revealing fires of judgment, the world is gaining a new vision. Upon the men of this time is breaking the light of a new social order. The outstanding fact of today is the rediscovery of the kingdom of God. What are they calling the new world order? The kingdom of God. The Lord said, when you see the world falling apart, then I'm going to come set up the kingdom of God. We are coming to see that the kingdom of God in Christ's conception never means anything less than a righteous human society on earth. That is, without Jesus here. He has come not to patch up human society and make the world a little less intolerable for man, but to make all things new and create a new social order. The men of goodwill are summoned to arise and build a Christian social order. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Do you see what he just did? He gave you the new heavens and the new earth. And he said, this is what we're bringing. Man is bringing this kingdom of God. The new world order is the new heavens and the new earth in the book of Revelation. To create the Christian commonwealth by Christianizing community life, this is to bring the new heaven and the new earth. No, I believe Jesus will bring the new heaven and the new earth. We need a large, comprehensive, scientific, and constructive program of social reconstruction. The natural resources of the nation must be socialized. What does that mean? Take control of everything in the name of the government. And there should be the social control of water. We need the socialization of all such public utilities as railroads, telegraph, and telephone lines, city light, water, transportation. That means everything is taken over by what? The government, that's the New World Order. They call that the Kingdom of God. When the government takes over everything, the Kingdom of God is here. The process of industry must come under the direct supervision and coordination of society. Industry is taken over by the New World Order. The time has come when men and their economic relations must agree to come under the control of society. What does society mean? That means the elite few that Plato talked about rule over everybody else. But they call it society to make you feel better. They say, no, we got to take it out of your hand because nobody, it'll be in our hands because that'll be fair. Well, why is it fair to put it in your hands? The capitalistic system is a monster eating up the lives of the people. This is what children are indoctrinated with. This is what the churches were being indoctrinated with. Making money and getting wealth is a monster. No, it's only a monster if you use it wrong. We must have the creation of an international mind. International peace must become an aspiration, a religion, before it will become a reality. There must be some international organization. The only alternative is World Federation. There must be an international police force. By federated action, they must take control of the earth's resources. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Blasphemy. They're indoctrinating Christians into the New World Order and using the Lord's words to give it momentum. Christianity must unite its own forces before it can effectively urge the nations to unite. So all the various denominations and cults must come together. It must federate its own sects before it can demand the federation of the world. The churches must give men the visions of the kingdom of God. Churches must lead men in the thorough reconstruction of the social order. When you hear Christians on the radio that are funded and they got millions of dollars, and you see these great ministers that are talking about bringing in globalization, bringing in thinking globally, bringing in the kingdom of God, you read the fine print, folks. Read in between the lines and see they're talking about the New World Order. They're just calling the New World Order the kingdom of God. That's the bait that deceives the Christians. H.E. Robinson, who many love for his correction of the King James Bible, He's a very popular Bible corrector that everybody loves, his Greek text, his Greek skills. 1919, he writes a book called The New Citizenship, The Christian Facing a New World Order. He says, Jesus outlined a program for world conquest, as we shall see. Did he really? I thought he said, go gather out from among the Gentiles a people. The kingdom of God is within the heart. Someday the League to Enforce Peace will be a reality. Isn't that nice? The League to Enforce Peace. Doesn't that sound nice? Enforce peace. We then shall be a step nearer to Tennyson's Federation of Mankind, the Parliament of the World. All of this is in the heart of Christ. You're a liar. That is not in the heart of Christ. We are citizens of the world. Democracy will conquer the world. That's a nice little word, democracy. See? It may be that once in the history of the race, woman was stronger than man. Oh, really? And she was the provider and protector. Oh, really? He's saying one day, way back in evolution past, women probably ruled everything. That's A.T. Robertson, that all these Christians love to quote. There will be a new social order, and this war will be used to help God, to help it come nearer. Dr. Walter Rauschenbusch, which was a socialist, was a brave spirit. He was a communist. The American people must be willing to follow Jesus. The process may be slow. All the nations are facing social reconstruction. What are they saying? We're bringing to pass a new world order, and we're going to use Jesus to bring everybody together. Hey, Hitler did the same thing. In 1919, the Freemasons get in on the game. They've been in on the game. Proceedings of the Grand Lodge of the Free and Accepted Masons of the State of New York. Speaking of the changes wrought by war, the Grand Master said in concluding his address, the world will never be again as it was before. And in the establishment of this new world order, the principles we are taught as we advance in Masonry must be the guide to men and nations. These, my brethren, are some of the tasks that lie before us. Masons want to bring in a new world order. That's why so many in the government are Freemasons. In 1920, Frederick Charles Hicks writes The New World Order, International Organization, International Law. He's a law librarian at Columbia University. He says, this study has resulted in the author's personal conviction that the League of Nations should be supported, that the Covenant of the League of Nations is an epoch-making document, is now a commonplace. There has been a rapid increase of interest in plans for a New World Order for the purpose of maintaining peace. In 1920, Scribner's magazine says the future looks dark, yet there is a brighter side. Everywhere thinking men are alive to the perils of the hour, statesmen strive to forge the machinery of a new world order, assuring peaceful evolutionary progress, while seers and prophets, who are they? The religious ministers, labor to effect that changed attitude of mind and heart, which must form the indispensable moral basis to a new world order. What are they saying? Ministers! Must be you. Pastors must be used to facilitate the awakening attitude that it's good to have a new world order. So this is why you will see more and more books like Rick Warren and all of these things coming out talking about globalization. Globalization. We need to quit thinking of the narrow. We need to start thinking globally. What are they doing? They're facilitating. They're changing the attitude. So you come to church and you learn the new world order is a good thing. See? Oh, and then 1921, it begins to break out even more. H.G. Wells in The Salvaging of Civilization, The Probable Future of Mankind, says the world has been brought into one community. If mankind is to be saved from destruction, there's the Tower of Babel, there must be world control. A world control means a world government. It is only another name for it. And manifestly, that government must have the greatest military might. It must speak through the school and the university. Aha. So colleges and public schools will be what? Indoctrination centers for what? The New World Order. We could live in a universal palace and make the whole globe our garden and playground. Ah, that's the bait. Sounds like what Satan said to Eve. The whole world will be peaceful. No more war. No more bad people. Everything will be beautiful. Don't you want it for your children? And naive people say yes. Yes. Let's get rid of all the wars and the bad people. It's not going to happen, folks. Oh, it'll happen, but under Antichrist. Fear and hate, not hope and desire, have been hitherto the effective spurs for men. the activities of a cult which set itself to bring about the world state would at first be propagandist. He's saying we need cults to awaken the cult of the New World Order, and we must indoctrinate people. We're going to use propaganda, he says. Such a cult must direct itself particularly to the teaching of the young. This demand for one world empire of righteousness was inherent in the teachings of Buddha. It is the embodiment in earthly affairs of the Spirit of Christ. You're a liar. First comes the idea, and then slowly the full comprehension of the idea comes realization, and with that realization will come a kindling anger at the vulgarity, the meanness, the greed, and baseness, and utter stupidity that refuses to attend to this clear void. What did H.G. Wells say? It says, first we're going to put up with you folks that don't believe in the New World Order, we're going to try to persuade you, we're going to indoctrinate your children, but when this thing gets going, you'll find us, we're going to get angry at you for being in the way of the New World Order. That you would be so stupid, that you would be so selfish not to want a new world order. Today we teach, but as understanding grows, we must begin to act. So folks, it's not always going to be just indoctrinating in movies in the public school. Pretty soon they'll start acting. We have not only books and papers, but in the cinema, we have a means of rapid visual presentation still hardly used. This is 1921. H.G. Wells says we will use movies to indoctrinate the world into the New World Order. Do you see it? All right. We have schools nearly everywhere. This is a task that demands the work and thought of thousands of minds. There's your 1,000 points of light, see. We have to spread the idea of a federal world state as an approaching reality throughout the world. We can do this nowadays through 100 various channels. We can do it through the press, through all sorts of literary expression, in our schools, colleges, universities, through political mouthpieces, by special organizations, and at last but not least, through the teaching of the churches. There it is. We will use the media, we'll use Hollywood, we'll use the schools, and finally, we'll use the ministers to indoctrinate the world in the cult of the New World Order. We can spread ideas and suggestions now with 100 times the utmost rapidity of a century ago. That's 1921, and he's bragging about how they can indoctrinate people. What can they do now? With satellite TV and the internet. Its special concern will be the young and the still growing mind. Let us try to imagine what a world government would be like. Will there be a world king? These are very natural questions. There must be a coming New World Order Bible, says H.G. Wells. The Christian Bible is not all that we need today. I think that during the last century, the Bible has lost much of its former control. It no longer grips the community. We want a Bible. We need a revised and enlarged Bible. There it is. There it is. We're going to have a new Bible, a new church. We're going to use the public schools. We're going to use movies, especially the movies that are marketed toward the young. And as they watch these cute little creatures, we're going to indoctrinate them into the idea of the New World Order. Get your children out of Hollywood. Get them out from under the TV. Get them out of the public schools. This is 1921. What do you think it's like now? Also in 1921, Philip Snowden, Labor and the New World, a British Christian socialist and a feminist, says the instinct of social preservation will, though perhaps painfully and laboriously, evolve a New World Order. People will be so afraid. They'll say, yes, we want the New World Order. The instruments of production will be regarded as common property. It will be the special duty of social organization to care for the children. That means you have no more control over your children. That's Hillary Clinton's village, see. The New Order will be democratic. Yeah, democratic. But we have your children. To avert the dangers of an ignorant democracy, the education of the children will be the first care of the community. So when they say we want democracy around the world, what they mean is we want the New World Order. And what they really mean is we cannot have an ignorant democracy, so we must take your children and indoctrinate them so we can have a wise democracy, which means a pro-New World Order democracy. When the conscience will exist, the indoctrinated acceptance of the masses, no revolution of violence will be necessary. That means as long as you accept it, what? There will be no blood. As long as you go along submissively, there will be no blood. If you follow the indoctrination, nobody will have to die. The progress, it is true, has been irritatingly slow. 1921, they're saying it's been slow. But it is, on the whole, moving. The form and structure of the New World Order is already appearing, molding, and transforming the existing system. The New World Order will be achieved by moving from precedent to precedent. I like one sister said, president from president. Precedent to precedent. This does not mean that the progress need be slow. Our immediate concern, however, is with the question of bringing land and the instruments of production under public ownership and public control. So they said our immediate concern as we're waiting for the New World Order is to take private property from people. And he talked about taxation being used for the purpose of getting rid of private ownership. Oh, 1922, here he comes again, H.G. Wells, who already said let's use the schools and the movies to bring forward the New World Order. Now he writes the introduction to Margaret Sanger's The Pivot of Civilization. Margaret Sanger was the pro-Nazi woman that was the feminist rebel that wanted to use birth control and eugenics to basically get control of evolution. And H.G. Wells saw her as part of the open conspiracy. He noted that she sets out the case of the new order against the old. Their agenda was to use birth control to restore the evolutionary balance. They saw it as key to the new world order. Margaret Sanger says it was Wells who helped to free us. No knight ever set out with higher ideals. So these people really are into this H.G. Wells fellow. And he really does seem to be one of the main spokesmen publicly for the new world order. These open conspirators, when you read their books, I'll just move along quickly, they advocate a kinder, gentler Nazism. Basically, if we have to use the iron rod, we will. But what we really would like is a kinder, gentler form of Nazism. But nevertheless, it'll be Nazism. Whatever breaks the strong bond of the family is good for society. So fornication, sodomy, all of these things, because they break down the family unit. And if you break down the family, then the public school and the movies can indoctrinate them. But if you've got a daddy saying, uh-uh, you're not bringing that trash in my house. See, now you're in the way. See, no, you're not going to public school. You'll stay home and be homeschooled. I'm not sitting you before a bunch of sodomites to teach you about a new world order. It's not going to happen. I'm going to teach you at home. Oh, well, you're in the way, see. So we have to stir up rebellion in whatever means we can to bring the children out from under your control. They talk about all of this. They say we'll keep the form of the traditional institutions and names, but they must discreetly destroy the substance. So marriage will be marriage, but it really doesn't mean marriage. Democracy will be democracy, but it really doesn't mean democracy. Family will be family, but it really doesn't mean family. Church will be church, but it really doesn't mean church. You understand? And the Bible said in the last days perilous times shall come because they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the substance or the power thereof. Jesus knew, did he not? 1924, taking the hint from H.G. Wells, Charles F. Potter calls for a new Bible with no place for a Jew Bible or literature from a Semitic nation. He had ties with Margaret Sanger, who had ties to the Nazis. Charles Potter was a pastor of the First Humanist Church in America. He was president of the NEA. He boasts in 1930 that the battle was over since public schools had the children. He mocks in 1930 how stupid Christians are for thinking that evolution was the only propaganda being taught their children in schools. He's basically saying they haven't even awakened to the fact that we're teaching the children about the New World Order. They have no idea. They think if we get rid of evolution that everything will be all right. He's saying, no, we've got the public schools set up to indoctrinate children in the New World Order. Then he began to laugh and say that in a few decades, you would not be able to have church in America unless it's a humanist church because we have your children 5 days a week and there's nothing you can do about it. Go ahead and use your one day of Sunday school. But we now are indoctrinating your children and there's nothing you can do about it, so it's over. He said the battle's finished. In 1933, he signs the first humanist manifesto with educator John Dewey, calling for a world government with a world religion. Dewey would later directly call for schools to teach the New World Order. In 1947, Dewey says we've got to get more, efficient at teaching the New World Order to our children. Now, the fundamentalists were not quiet. The Christians were awake that all of this was happening. They were wide awake. Not all of them. There were all these liberals that were asleep. But good fundamental men like D.M. Patton, he writes in 1925, internationalism today can only be a federation forced by coercion. What's he saying? He said, don't let them lie to you. You're just giving up one military if you don't like your military, they'll bring in the UN military over here. You see what I mean? You're just giving up one for the other. Don't let them lie to you. The protocol issued by the League last September is the closest approach to a world state made since the fall of the Roman Empire. It establishes the obligation of all nations to go to war. Omnipotent coercion is the only solution the world can offer. Theodore Roosevelt said, let us never forget that any promise that such a league or other machinery will definitely do away with war is either sheer nonsense or rank hypocrisy. Isn't that right? So the League becomes, under the protocol, the most powerful machinery for war ever devised. Cecil Rhodes foretold that within 100 years of his day, the trade of the world will be under the control of one man. A superstate armed with irresistible power. A world despot is being created under our eyes. It is merely the first rough model, Mr. H.G. Wells says. I have been coming more and more to the idea the whole world is one state, and of God is the king of that state. The emperor God, the God emperor is at hand. Who's H.G. Wells do you think calling the God emperor? Antichrist. Patton says the God emperor is at hand. The study of prophecy is the sole safeguard in the modern crisis. And for one but second Advent Christians is their hope of escape from this most dangerous political snare. The Lord promises an escape, folks. He says if you'll be alive and you'll watch and you'll hinder what's going on and watch and pray, He will account you worthy to escape what's coming. That's our hope. In the name of the Prince of Peace, says an ecumenical manifesto in the Times of 1918, we would call on Christian people at large openly to welcome a League of Nations that shall have power to constrain by economic pressure and armed force. Christian forces are being mobilized through ignorance to help create a monster of prophecy, the wild beast, and its establishment of a universal religion. Well, D.M. Patton in 1925, he wasn't asleep, was he? He's reading Cecil Rhodes, H.G. Wells. He says, I see what you guys are doing. And I'm going to name it right here in the Bible and expose you. In 1926, D.M. Patton says, the League's greatest asset, says the Duke of Northumberland, National Review of 1925, has been its alleged association with Christianity and the solemn recommendations of the clergy of all denominations. Are y'all listening? You know what he says here? They said, our greatest asset is the foolishness of Christians endorsing the New World Order. Our greatest asset will be Christians pushing this globalization for us. They said, you can never have the United Nations without foolish Christians thinking it's the kingdom of God. And what does 1 Thessalonians 5 say? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What's the Antichrist come to do? Destroy by peace. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. In 1928, H.G. Wells publishes the first edition of his Open Conspiracy. The idea of reorganizing the affairs of the world on quite a big scale, which was utopian and so forth in 1926 and 27, and still bold in 1928, has now spread about the world until nearly everybody has it. It has broken out all over the place. Otherworldliness has become unnecessary. This open conspiracy of ours must be made in the name of and for the sake of science. Later, directed breeding will come within its scope. Daily life in the New World Order will become adventure and discovery. This propaganda has to go on. It will have become a great world movement as widespread and evident as socialism or communism. It will be more than they were. It will be, frankly, a world religion. What does H.G. Wells say? He says, this is an open conspiracy. We're not hiding anything. I need everybody, actors and educators and Christians and pastors. I need everybody to be involved in the conspiracy to bring about a new world religion, a new world order. In 1980, Marilyn Ferguson renamed this open conspiracy the Aquarian Conspiracy. And she said everybody in government, all of these people in media, everybody is understanding the new Aquarian Conspiracy. She quotes H.G. Wells and others to show that the conspiracy is larger than the left and the right. Her 13th chapter of the Aquarian Conspiracy is the Whole Earth Conspiracy. What are they saying? They're saying we can use Democrats, we can use Republicans, because the conspiracy is larger than all of this. Folks, it's open. It's published. This isn't hidden away somewhere. In 1940, H.G. Wells publishes a book. He now names it the New World Order. He says we're living in the end of a definite period of history, the period of the sovereign states. He says no more sovereign states. Bye-bye. The reorganization of the world has at first to be mainly the work of a movement. We may call it New Liberalism or the New Radicalism or whatnot. It will not be a close-knit organization. They will do all they can to spread and perfect this conception of a New World Order. I do not know how sane men in America are going to set about relaxing the stranglehold of the Constitution, but they will manage it somehow. Step by step, and here and there it will arrive. Countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. What's he say? He says one of our greatest obstacles is the Constitution of America. Which means, if you hold to constitutionalism, if you hold that that is the best form of government we can get now, without Jesus here, you are in the way. They have to destroy the Constitution of America. But they said, don't worry. We figure you'll find a way around it. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to hate it, and they're going to die protesting against it. Now, notice this in 1940. Talk about blasphemy. H.G. Wells writes a little book called All Aboard for Ararat. Ararat is where the ark landed. He has a conversation with God. It's a novel, but in the novel, a new Noah launches a new ark to establish a new world order governed by the intellectual elite. He says, we're at the door where we need the new Noah and the new ark for the new world order. He writes, we pull ourselves together. We assemble the world state. I'm going to take God along with us. He has been an inspiring delusion. In the end, we may even make him real. What do they say? They're going to use religion to set up the New World Order. He can come along. And you might, in the end, find out that we have somebody to worship. But right now, we're going to use the Christian concept of God to bring forth the New World Order. So don't be deceived when somebody out of one side says, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And the other side of their mouth say, we need the 1,000 points of light and we need the New World Order. Don't be deceived. Gandhi in 1942 calls it my 7 points for a New World Order. He calls for redistribution of wealth and imbalanced passivity, a very naive hippie passivity. In 1943, Life magazine says John Foster Dulles delivers a keynote address and 5,000 Protestant laymen, church dignitaries, and civil leaders convene to initiate a nationwide campaign dedicated to the attainment of a New World Order. Flags of the United Nations were carried in a procession to the altar. Can you imagine thousands of Christians getting together and bringing a United Nations flag to the altar? All of these New Agers and occultists all joining hands with Christians to bring in the New World Order? Folks, 1943... Albert Einstein says in 1945, the secret of the atomic bomb should be committed to a world government. But how are you going to trust the world government? That's like people say, we need to get rid of all the guns and put them into the hands of the policemen. Don't you read the article? Policeman rapes girl. Policeman rapes girl. Policeman pedophile caught. A pediatrician pedophile. Policeman pedophile. Why don't people wake up? What's going on? Where comes this idea that if you have a badge, you're a good guy? You should be a good guy. But we shouldn't be naive, folks. Let's not be naive. 1946, Winston Churchill says we must build a kind of United States of Europe. Other Christians, just to show you that they were awake somewhat, some of the fundamentalists were, Wilbur M. Smith, in 1950, writes World Crisis in the Prophetic Scriptures. He says, during the last 5 years, we constantly hear almost everywhere that the only hope for humanity in this hour, is a world federation, a world government. We now have facilities for world communication. It is nothing less than a preparation for a world dictator and for Antichrist. The demand for it is increasing with terrific intensity. We are not far from it. Good eye, Mr. Wilbur M. Smith, but how could you miss it, really? It's everywhere. You'd have to bury your head somewhere to miss, because they're not hiding it. You understand? So this is how insane it is. If you talk about a New World Order and somebody says, oh, you believe in one of those conspiracy. Are you a fool? Do you have no concept of history? I mean, do you know nothing about what has gone on before you? See. In 1950, Los Angeles Examiner, Congressman Richard Nixon submits a resolution calling for the establishment of a United Nations police force. In other words, having United Nations isn't good enough. It needs military power. 1967, all the popes get in on it. Pope Paul VI says, who can fail to see the need and importance of, because they want to control it, you see. Who can fail to see the need and importance of this gradually coming to the establishment of a world authority? All of you must realize that you have your part to play in the construction of a new world order. It's not a new word, folks. 1971, Gary Allen, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, writes, just to show you what's been going on. See what I mean? I want to show you that there have been folks protesting it and that type of thing. But they were regulated, even though he sold 5 million copies, it was seen to be kooky. You know what I mean? But meanwhile, Kissinger, Nixon, everybody goes on to talk about the New World Order, but he's a kook for talking about it. See? Isn't that insane? I think that's insanity. Gary Allen says, world government has a strong emotional appeal for Americans. Based on the universal desire for peace, everyone gravitates toward the olive branch, not realizing that the olive branch is controlled by the same people who promote the war. A world government requires a world supreme court, a world police force. And that is so true. What's he saying? Don't be deceived by peace. But what does the Antichrist finally deceive everybody by? Peace! 1972, President Nixon goes to China. He gives a speech. He says, there are many walls still existing in the world which divide nations and peoples. It is not our common beliefs that have brought us together, but the hope that each of us has to build a new world order. Did he just pick that phrase up? No, folks. You think he's never read H.G. Wells? He's never read all these folks that have gone before him? He knows what's going on. Let's fast forward to 1990, Boston Globe. Europe choreographs new world order. It's arising. Throughout 1988, throughout the 1990s, both Gorbachev and President Bush Sr. used the new world order over and over again. It's like it's fast forward. Now it's like we're going to use it in every speech, every UN address. It's the new world order, the new world order, the new world order. For example, his State of Union message in 1991, President Bush says, we are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order to achieve the universal aspirations. I thought we elected you president. What's all of this mess here? To achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, we can find meaning and reward by serving some higher purpose than ourselves, a shining purpose. Now watch these words. The illumination of 1,000 points of light. The world can therefore seize this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world. The long-held promise? Well, he's right about that, isn't he? Oh, we've seen this. Goes back to Plato. Yeah, but he's saying, we're going to bring it about. All of us yearn for a world where we will never have to fight again. We do? Yeah, I do too when Jesus comes. But you're just a liar if you try to say this is going to happen before Jesus comes. The winds of change are with us now. Now, I need you to know something. If you go back and read, like I did, The New World Order in 1940 by H.G. Wells, you'll find that he teaches that you must all join together. Everybody that is awake to this concept must work together, and you cannot be selfish. He says, you need to treat this like a religion. You need to strive for the New World Order and quit being selfish. So basically, George Bush is quoting right off the pages of H.G. Wells. But what's even more scary is Alice A. Bailey, who was a theosophist, a follower of Blavatsky that Harry Potter is based on. She was a Satanist. She says her writings are channeled from a spirit guide, which we know is a devil. Let's go back and read. Her publishing company is Lucis Trust, which was formerly Lucifer Trust. This is an updated version of her book, which was released in 1933, 1934. This is the 1957 copy. And it's, if you read the speech by George Bush, it's almost as if it's right off the pages of the Luciferic Alice A. Bailey that she wrote by a devil. She says, "Let the forces of light bring illumination to mankind. From the point of light, the forces of light is the name for certain new powers which are being evoked by the hierarchy at this time." So, you have these forces of light, you have these powers, they're devils! And the hierarchy, you have these people that are awake. They're in high places of government, they're in the media, they're in the news, they're in the cinema. And these people that are awake must awake to the spirit of the thousand points of light, see? And they must receive to basically go around and indoctrinate everybody into the New World Order. The intelligent youth of all countries are rapidly repudiating Orthodox theology. They look to no Bible. Therefore, in the New World Order, spirituality will supersede theology. So, when you look out here today in Christianity and you see nobody wants a Bible, they don't want a church that teaches doctrine, they just want to be spiritual. Well, spiritual means not fornicating. Spiritual means not, it means obeying the Bible. No, you're being legalistic. Let's just be spiritual. That's the form of godliness that the Bible said was coming. And not only that, these occultists, that's going to be the religion of the new world order. The new group of world servers believes that through the agency of goodwill, the new world order can be firmly established on earth. A new world order developed and brought to functioning activity by the forces of light. It will not be an American world. It is already happening when the forces of light have won the victory over the forces of aggression. So see, there are aggressors out there. They're rebels. They must be destroyed from within and without. We must destroy the aggressors so we can establish the New World Order. The New World Order will be founded on the recognition that all men are equal in origin and goal. But they are all at different stages of evolutionary development. Aha! That's the key. Yes, you're all equal. Now, you're way back on the evolutionary plane, but you're still equal. And we need to make sure you don't have children, see? Because you'll mess up the gene pool. But we believe in equality. In the preparatory period for the New World Order, there will be a steady and regulated disarmament. Aha! It will not be optional. No nation will be permitted to produce and organize any equipment for destructive purposes. Is this George Bush or Alice Bailey? Cooperate to the fullest extent with the forces of light. The kingdom of God must function on earth. What does she call it? The kingdom of God. Even the occultists are using the phrase, the kingdom of God. They call the vision by many names. Better world conditions, the new world order, world reconstruction, the new civilization, brotherhood, fellowship. It matters not what you call it. Forces of light bringing illumination. The new world order is coming. No nation must be allowed to arm. Shining purpose, the illumination of a thousand points of light, the long-held promise of a new world order. There it is, folks, right off the pages of the devil that inspired Alice A. Bailey. 2004, Pope John II on World Peace Day, a new world order is needed. He's just doing what all the popes have been doing for all this time, continuing to try to implement the new world order, where he gets to be king. All right, with all of this foundation, let's quickly look at some headlines this past year. July 8th, Pope's encyclical calls for world political authority. Look at, they use every opportunity to say, we need a world authority, we need a world police force, we need a world currency, we need a new world police state. Just a few days ago, December 17th, UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, Press Association of the UK, says, I come to this the largest ever, this is Prime Minister of the UK, I come to this the largest ever global conference facing the greatest global challenge of our time, and the success of our endeavors depends on us forging a new alliance, the first global alliance, a new alliance for the preservation of our planet. Why did they have the Tower of Babel? Preservation. Why do they have the League of Nations? Preservation. Why do they have the United Nations? Preservation. Same thing, same thing. We must unite to preserve. New York Daily News, December 18, has a headline, Obama's Not-So-New World Order. Now, when I looked at that headline, I thought, well, finally, somebody's going to admit it. But no, they just said, George Bush had already used the phrase. So they went back to George Bush, as if the whole thing began with George Bush. Which is insane. That's insane. A Telegraph, London Telegraph, December 19th. There will be nowhere to run from the New World Government. Well, they're just dropping these headlines. 2009 was the year in which global swept the rest of the political lexicon into obscurity. There were global crises, the global challenges, the only possible resolution to which lay in global solutions necessitating global agreements. Forget the relatively petty irritations of Euro bureaucracy. Welcome to the era of Earth bureaucracy. Isn't that something? If government can't run things, if they haven't been able to run education very well, so you want a global government? So-called global government? There will literally be nowhere to run. The word global has now taken on sacred connotations. There is a whiff of totalitarianism about this new theology. They don't give you any answers. The writer just simply says, this is becoming a religion. This New World Order stuff. And she wants to know how rights are going to be protected. Either she's naive or she's using whatever power she has to get people to think. Washington Post in December 20, Copenhagen climate deal shows New World Order may be led by the U.S. and China. It was a glimpse into a New World Order. Notice how they're dropping this, dropping it. Stephen Green. The New World Order is already underway, says Stephen Green. He's the group chairman of the world's largest private bank. He claims this New World Order is already underway. Interesting. Spiegel magazine. One of the largest bankers in the world says the New World Order is already underway. And just the past few days, WorldNet Daily headline, Obama gives foreign cops new police powers in U.S. Wonder how that happened. I wonder why. Because this is their dream. You say, why would they destroy America? Why do they want to weaken America? Because that's their dream. They want to use America to help bring this thing together, but then America has to take a back seat to the world court, see? CNN, November the 19th. Belgian Prime Minister is first President of Europe. Wow. I remember when folks said, if there's ever a President of Europe, I know the Antichrist has come, because they've always said, Europe is going to gather together into a European Union. It'll be the revived Roman Empire. Then it'll get so much control that it'll have a common currency. And then finally you will have a president who will empower and be the leader. And they said, nah, that'll never happen. Well, Israel's a nation. They said that wouldn't happen. You got computer technology to control all the world's finances by a chip. They said that'll never happen. And now you got a president of Europe. There he is. Just like the Bible says there will be. AOL video, EU president, here he is now. Let's see what he has to say. I want to hear what he said. It'd be like when the alien steps out of the UFO. What's he going to say? We want to hear what you're going to say. What message are you going to bring? Well, here it is. Climate crisis, anxiety. 2009 is the first year of global governance. It's a nice little word there for New World Order. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step for the global management of our planet. What in the world is global? What are you talking about? He says, I'm president of Europe, man. I want to bring the whole world together and let's control everything. Well, who gets to be boss? That's what I want to know. You're going to break down all of these sovereign states. Who gets to be the leader? Who are the guys that get to run everything? Who gets to vote about what's going to happen, see? Who says we can trust you? Well, while you're thinking of all of these things, here's an Australian news headline in November 14th. Jews raise millions to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. The director of the Temple Institute holds a sacred vessel specially made for the Messiah's coming. Just to show you that behind the scenes, or not even behind the scenes, pretty much out in the open, they're getting ready for what? their Messiah. Problem is, unless they awake and discover Jesus, the Messiah that they fall for in the Bible says it will be the Antichrist. Jesus says, "Me you have rejected, another will come in His own name, and him you will receive."